part one. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, AKC's Total Talk. I did it again. Damn it. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
I'm Ed.
And we're back with episode 90, part one.
And I got to tell you, John, talk about gut check time. Talk about the show must go on. Here we are broadcasting from the hospital. John had a turn for the worse. They want to monitor you for a couple of days.
I'll be all right, though.
Yeah, you seem to be fine. You're a little pale, but that's to be expected.
I can't believe they let me bring all this stuff in here.
Well, Ed and I had to sneak it in. Actually, I showed up. Ed was already here, and I had to, you know, have him help me run back to the car to get all this shit.
Oh.
But,
what was that, 20 trips?
At least.
I hope that respirator isn't bugging me.
No, not at all. And the reason is 20 trips. It would only have been about 6 trips, but we had to bring the time machine up and kind of assemble it here because we're going to be using the time machine a little bit later on.
You think there's like a hospital policy against that?
Time machines?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not explicitly, I guess. Maybe they have something under non-medical
devices. Here's the thing. We're doing it, and I don't have permission from my doctor.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What I want to know is the machine you unplug, the time machine, is that important, John?
No.
Okay.
That's not important. That's just the call button to the nurse. So,
yeah.
We don't need the nurse. We could take care of John. Like, if he needs a sponge bath, you'll hook that up, Ed. If you got to empty his
colostomy bag.
Now, the ironic thing
is drink it.
Phil emailed me, and he said, hey, you guys missed an episode. Is John doing okay? And I emailed him back. I said, you're on a couple of high blood pressure drugs.
Yeah.
But other than that, you seem fine. And then, boom, we're in the hospital.
Yeah.
So what happened? How did it take a turn for the worse?
I don't know, man. I was lifting a bag of dog food. God, they're fucking noisy. Goddamn nurses. Shut up. I was lifting a bag of dog food to read if it had wheat gluten. And I fell on the floor.
Fell right down.
Yeah, and the wife called the paramedics, and here I am.
Well, I got a story that'll cheer you up, John.
Oh.
I don't know if you know this. Are you a big sports fan? Basketball, specifically? How about you, Special Ed?
Oh, is this the Michael Richards story?
No, I didn't even know there was a Michael Richards story. This is about the NIT championship.
What the hell's the NIT championship?
Well, you got March Madness. You got the NCAA tournament, right?
Yep. Right.
That's the big one. And then the teams that don't make it into that tournament play in the NIT tournament. That's the National Invitation Tournament. So that completed. That just finished up. And the Mountaineers from West Virginia won. Did you know that, John?
The Mountaineers.
The Mountaineers from West Virginia. Unfortunately, while they were happy to accept the trophy, that can't be said for their championship T-shirts because they contain a misspelling.
Oh, yeah.
The West Virginia printed on the T-shirts players wore after winning the NIT title is missing the last I in Virginia.
It looks like Virginia.
Virginia. West Virginia. And you know how much I really like that word. So
you love vagina.
I wonder if we can get one of those on eBay or something. I wonder how many that came off the press. I would think they would be collector's items. West Virginia.
Yeah.
The NIT champions.
Oh, that's out of sight.
In other news, John, I don't know if you know this, but we got a little bit of press.
We did?
Yep. This is from Mina Hochberg, Mina Hochberg, AM New York Arts and Entertainment. All right? You got that?
Aight.
Who are the smartest celebrities? Some wow with their looks, others with their singing or acting, and then there are those entertainers who blow your mind away with their smarts. Here are eight of them. This list is not about people with high IQs or Ivy League degrees. It's not about people who are outspoken, humanitarian, or activist. It's about artistic genius, John.
Mm.
All right,
I
so
like that.
Some of them, like number one is Stephen Colbert, host of the Colbert Report.
Ah, yeah.
Rarely is Stephen Colbert at a loss for words while sparring with guests on his show without faltering. He matches wits with wit on matters of all importance. Number two, Charlie Kaufman, screenwriter. Stranger Than Fiction, right. Adaptation, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Number three, Oprah Winfrey. Come on.
What?
TV host and media mogul Oprah Winfrey is on many lists, but she's on our smart list because of her capacity to reflect intelligently on the events of her life and those of others. Number four, Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Number five, Jon Stewart. Let me just go through the list quickly. Number six, Howard Stern. Number seven, Bono.
Bono.
Long before
Bono. Isn't it Bono or is it Bono?
I don't know. Was a cover of Time Worthy activist. He was an activist through lyrics, John.
In our and research, number we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
A West vagina. And our numbin coming in at
slow.
Number eight. Get this, John. John and Scott from TTN, webcast loudmouth co-host John and Scott are not for everyone with their explicit ruminations on sex and religion. But if they get beyond the controversy, you'll find an intelligent core.
Come on!
John's intelligence lies in his keen allegiance to the truth, whether you agree with his truth or not, and his ability to justify it. Scott, on the other hand, can talk about nearly anything, be it politics or celebrities, and come out with a respectable opinion. Although it is a challenge to interpret his verbal dyslexia on occasion, the other thing that sets them apart is their creativity and connections.
I want to see that. That's
there you have
you're lying.
I'm not. It's right here.
It's right here, black and white.
Here, I got the second page. There's the first page.
There's more?
Well, the first page is the one through five. Then six, seven, eight are on the second page. We're number eight.
That's out of sight. Where can we link to that?
I don't know. I would think on the internet.
Just link it right to our website.
On the internet.
Poster right on the website there.
Okay.
That's out of sight.
Now, before...
almost made me flatline.
Oh, I shouldn't surprise you like that, should I?
You're on the same list as Oprah and Stern.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, for our new listeners, I think Special Ed needs an introduction. You've been on many shows, haven't you, Special Ed?
I have.
Most notably, our 50th anniversary episode.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that.
Right? We got the big 100 coming up.
In about nine more episodes.
Now, Special Ed is well known for his Bush apologizing. are you still apologizing for the W, Special Ed?
I never have.
You never have?
I have never apologized for Bush.
Well, it means you support him. You support him.
You voted for him twice, right?
Once.
Once?
Kara and I finally figured out that I did not vote for him the second time. Because my voter card was not transferred from Palatine. So I never voted in the second one.
You see this revisionist history, John? Revisionist history. They actually had to think about this. Now, how could I say I didn't vote for the W twice?
I wanted to.
I wanted to.
But God stopped me.
I had divine intervention.
So you going to Easter church?
No.
Church on Easter? No?
No.
You lie. Are you getting out of it? Is the wife going?
No. Look at him think.
I wonder if my wife is going
to go. No, she's not going either.
I don't know if my wife is.
She's not going either. She's going to that thing in that, the 12 stages.
Of the cross.
Yeah, it's about it, though.
Are you going, John? Are you going to still be in the hospital? Are we going
to
be able to
get out?
Because we got the gig April 7th. That's like less than a week away.
Shit, yeah, that's next Saturday.
Do we need to get a replacement?
Next set. Yeah, why don't you call that guy? What's his name? Scott
Lang.
Lang. You guys torture. Hey, let's get Scott Lang, man. Fuck this.
You know what? I'll do it.
Oh, you'll do it?
I'll substitute
play
for
guitar and drums, though.
No, just drums.
Oh, all right.
How hard can
it's
it be?
It's out of sight.
Because yeah, we do have
really,
a,
that's what I say. How hard can it be?
We do sticks, have a gig away.
Coming up April 7th at Eddie's. Is that right?
Eddie's.
Now, Eddie's is the place right across the street from the Arlington train station.
Right.
On Northwest Highway.
Arlington Heights.
Arlington Heights.
Illinois.
Well, I'm going to have to call my cousin then because she lives downtown. She'll be able to jump on the train. She won't have an excuse not to come, John.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. And we're going to be, it's going to be a special show.
Why is that?
Special Easter show.
Special Easter show. That's right, John.
Kangaroo Court is going to put on a special Easter show.
And then today we just found out about another gig on Friday the 13th, John.
Right.
In Glenview.
There's two Friday the 13th this year.
Really?
Yeah, we're playing again July 13th.
Oh, that's right. Another
that's also Friday the 13th.
Where are you playing in Glenview?
The Hanson Brothers.
The hockey guys? Is it a sports bar?
I don't know.
Oh, I think I almost flatlined. Did you hear that?
Oh, shit.
What was that, man?
Oh, the Knob Creek went down the wrong pipe when you almost flatlined. I was ready to give you mouth to mouth there,
no,
John.
You're ready to run out. Oh, shit.
I'm better. Get away.
Yeah, you should have seen him, like, 4 weeks ago when I was having a fucking heart attack trying to lift this goddamn sofa we had in here. And he's like, come on, man. Come on. And I'm dropping it. I'm like, dude, man. I can't catch my breath.
Come on, don't hyperventilate.
He's like, come on, man. Pick it up. I pick it up. We finally get it in there. He did most of it. And then that following Monday is when I was in the emergency room.
Well, nice, the other thing that precipitated that?
Yeah.
Is that a word? Precipitated?
Precipitated? Or
was you prequel. Separated your shoulder?
Right. Oh, that was yeah.
You fell down the stairs.
Yeah. Oof.
And the week before that, you were spinning your pod thing around.
Oh, yeah, right. Thing. We spun that around the street and pushed
it. What's it called? iPod?
You were there.
I was there.
You were there, yeah. You got to get in the mic, man.
I was the engineer that to help you out on that one.
Yeah, that's right. We gave you full credit, didn't we?
In the hospital bed, still producing. John, you should get producer of the year for sure. Tell him Special Ed he's got to get in the mic.
I know. No, I'm thinking Knob Creek. Oh, man,
doctor's going to get on my case here.
Why, because you're drinking and also you have...
Shut up, dude.
Oh, shit.
You all right? You having a headache?
No, I'm okay. I almost
last
had
week you had a headache.
Calling some personnel to help me out when you almost flatlined there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I took my blood pressure yesterday and it was fine. It was like 113 over 79.
Perfect.
Nice.
That's like dead for me. For me, that's dead.
Hey, you think I can get somebody to check me out for tetanus? While I'm here?
Sure.
Tetanus.
How's that?
Works for me. All right, now, before you were admitted to the hospital, John, you saw a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm drinking some of my IV. I did. I saw Saw 3.
You saw Saw?
Yeah.
Now, have you seen the first and the second one?
No, I haven't, but I remember there was like a... what's her name's? Spike and Rachel were talking about how great it was, right?
Right.
And my niece and nephew were telling me,
how old are your niece and nephew?
They're like 10 and 8.
Really?
No. 17 and 20-something, or 18 and 20. And they thought it was unbelievable. Gotta see it. It's not really scary. It's really gory, but it's like got a real good story. And I thought I had one and two. I thought my wife bought it for me, but I couldn't find it. But I had Saw 3. I bought it at some point, and I've been scared to watch it. I've been literally like, okay, I got to be ready for this. This might have been what put me in the hospital.
You have to watch it by yourself because your wife doesn't like these kinds of movies, right?
Yesterday I watched it by myself.
Could have invited special
Not
over.
Not yesterday.
You could have.
Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. And basically it's about this guy, Jigsaw. He's kind of a nutcase. I don't know the backstory from the first one, but he puts these people through these tests where, games he calls them, where like he'll put a shackle around their ankle and have some acid about to pour on their face, and they got like 5 minutes, and they give him, they get a hacksaw, and they get a hack through the chain, and there's like a video that tells them this.
Tells them the rules.
Tells
them
the rules, the instructions, and says you can hack through the chain about, you know, 10 minutes and die, or you can hack through your ankle in about 1 minute.
Is it a well-produced video?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very well lit.
So do you think he farms that out to a vendor, or do you think he does that himself?
What?
Oh, the video.
Almost flatlined again. Don't get so mad at me, man. I don't
video.
Know.
Does he contract somebody to put that together for him, or does he do it himself on his little
Apple?
Yeah,
I think he does it all himself. Yeah. Because the video is like it's a puppet. So it's not him, it's just his voice and this puppet.
It's well produced though.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, then it's Spike and Rachel.
Oh,
that's who
I see
it is.
What you're saying. I thought you meant was the movie well produced, not the video.
the
video. Music video, Saw 3.
The video with the instructions.
No.
That wasn't well produced?
It's like grainy, and but you could hear it. It's very legible.
Legible.
Not legible. That would be for reading.
I think so, yeah.
You could hear it well when it's audible. It's very audible. So what is fucking all this noise? Jesus, opening
doors.
Should
door. We close
Shut
the curtain?
Up! Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if that'll help. You think you'd get a private room.
I know. Well, the door's got to be open in case I got to press the button. They got to throw the paddles on me.
Right.
So anyway, the movie just basically opens up with this guy yelling, "You fucking bitch!" And there's a flashlight laying on the ground, and he's able to get it and point it around. There's dead people laying around. He's got the shackle around the ankle, and he finds a hacksaw, and he tries to hack the ankle. No, that's not going to do it. He finds like I don't know if it was the top of a toilet lid or something, and he just starts smashing his ankle until it like breaks in two, because I think he figured if he sawed it off, he can't have it back. So he smashed it to a pulp and then slid it through the shackle.
I see.
Then he could get it all put back together with some pins and stuff.
Right.
So he's smashing away, and then they cut to another scene where this guy is like all chained up. He's got a chain through his jaw, through his chin, and out of his... under his tongue. It's a big, like a ring attached to a chain. And then all these chains attached to his skin on his back and shoulders and arms. And there's a bomb about to go off. And he's supposed to... And as he's there, wakes up, and he realizes this is going on, this video starts playing and telling him, "You're a loser. You've been in jail 12 times. You're a drug addict. You've killed people." All this stuff. "You could turn your life around by just..." Oh, did we flatline again?
He's a vigilante this guy?
Yeah, kind of. He tries to trick him into, you know, okay, you get out of this, you pass this test, you realize, you kind of like look back and go, "Oh my God, I almost died. I'm going to turn my life around." Well, it didn't work out so good for this guy.
No.
He just blew to pieces. But not after he pulled almost every single chain out of his skin slowly. You know, they show it close
with
up.
With the sound effects?
Yeah. And then this chick cop, she is miserable and hates her life and
she
stuff.
Hot?
Yeah, kind of. And they attach a machine to her.
You all right, man?
Basically.
Yeah, I'm okay.
It's attached to her ribs. And she's got to reach her hand into a glass of acid and pull this key out and then undo a lock. And at some point, she gets the lock undone and sees somebody walking down this corridor and goes, "It's you?" And she grabs the chains, and this thing just rips her rib cage out.
Nice. Whoosh,
like an angel, and all of her entrails fall to the floor. Ugh. And, you know, you're like, okay, where's this going? Where's this fucking movie going? Next, they cut to a chick who is just...
All right, we don't need to hear every goddamn detail. Where is the movie going?
The movie's just... It's going where... It's almost like... coincidence turns into this evil puppet master's plan, and he has a brain tumor and he needs this chick doctor to help him out. So they kidnap her, put this thing around her neck that's going to blow her brains out if she gets too far away from this dude or he flatlines. And his apprentice, this chick Amanda, she's been setting up all these other games for him. And while she's working on this dude's skull, she drills it, she cuts the skull out, it's all close up. Fantastic gore, like I've never seen. It's just unbelievable quality gore. And meanwhile, there's this other dude who's setting this maze inside the meatpacking plant that they're in, who's son... Uh-oh. I better slow down. In the meatpacking plant where they're at, and he lost a son to a drunk driver, and he's miserable. And he's, he's in this wooden cage, and he gets out, and as he's walking through this maze, he's got to listen to these tapes from this knucklehead Jigsaw, and then follow. He'll get a key, and he goes to a room, and there's a chick in a meat locker, naked, hanging from some ropes and a lock around her wrist, and water spraying on her, and he's got to save her. She was like one of the people that saw the accident and left the scene, and he has to learn to forgive, and he has to go through these different things. And you got to see, because the gore is just fantastic.
Well, just your description. Well, first of all, Ed, don't you think we could have just gone to John's house and watched the movie by now? Anyway... When you talk about the movie, it seems so goddamn elaborate. Is it even feasible that somebody could could manipulate people like this and put all this shit together?
That's the part I had trouble with. Like I said, he turns coincidence or like the when something happens, he's like, that's what I planned. You know, see, you fell into my trap.
Kind of like God.
Yeah, right.
Takes advantage of coincidence.
Right. Ooh, what happened? What happened? Okay. I thought the machine stopped. But the movie ends in a cliffhanger. And there's some really cool twists.
Saw 4, right? Saw 4?
Yeah. There's some cool twists. And yesterday I heard on the radio on Opie and Anthony, not yesterday, Friday, Kurt Russell was on. Maybe it was an old one or a new one. I don't know. He was talking about that new movie, Grindhouse.
Yeah, you heard of Quentin Tarantino.
He's in it, right? Yeah, he's in this. There's two of them. It's two movies put together. One's called Death Proof, and the other one, Shit.
It's called Shit?
No, I don't remember what it's called. But he was talking about Death Proof. But the two of them together, I watched the trailer. They're pretty kick-ass. There's one scene where a chick has a stump for a leg, and this dude makes a machine gun rocket launcher that attaches to her stump.
Nice.
And she lays on the ground and shoots people with it.
Would you see that on the internet?
On the internet. So you could look that up, Grindhouse. They have a website.
How many Normans you give the Saw?
Saw? Let's see. I was really into it. I couldn't stop watching it. So I'd say... 2.5, almost a 3.
2.5, almost 3.
Yeah. The gore was unbelievable.
I've got a 3.5 Spiny Norman movie to talk about. 3.5.
You got 4 minutes.
And maybe you've seen it. Blood Diamond? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Ed, Special Ed, you seen Blood Diamond?
I know the story.
Set against the backdrop of...
We can't hear you.
Backcock?
I haven't seen it.
Talk about there he is. Oh, there. Dirty pot. Dirty pot.
Dirty pot.
Dirty pots on the board.
Set against the backdrop. Backdrop of civil war. That chaos, John. In 1990s Sierra Leone, Blood Diamond is the story of Danny Archer, an ex-mercenary from Zimbabwe, and Salman Vandy, a Mendi fisherman. Both men are joined in a common quest to recover a rare pink.
No, I didn't read any of my shit.
Diamond that can transform their lives with the help of Maddie Bowen, who is played by Jennifer Connelly, an American journalist. The reason I give it 3.5 is Jennifer Connelly didn't really do it for me.
No.
As a journalist. But other than that, the movie was just outstanding. And the other thing is, we talked about what's the other goddamn African movie I saw? Hotel Rwanda?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
These people savages over there.
Oh, I know.
And the same shit is going on in Sierra Leone. And some people say it's because of the diamonds. Some people say, well, no, it's just because they wanted the current government out.
Yeah.
But it's set against that backdrop, and these people are insane.
No, man, it's the fucking, it's the diamond cartel. What's the one? What's the biggest one?
De Beers.
Big cartel.
But an outstanding movie. At first, I'm like, what the hell accent is Leonardo DiCaprio doing there? Is that an Australian? What is that? I can't place it.
You know, it's tough for me to watch him in a movie.
Why? Because of family ties?
I don't know. I just don't. I can't buy him too well, except in The Departed, which I thought was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. God damn it, was that a funny movie.
Well, it turns out it's a Rhodesian accent, a South African, you know, Kafalava.
South African Kafalava.
Kafalava. He even calls the brother a Kafa at one point, and they get in a little fist fight. But nice. What a goddamn great movie.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And DiCaprio, the other thing is he's a mercenary. They say that right off the bat. So you're thinking, okay, he's got to be a badass, right? And you're waiting for him to be a badass. Okay, when's he going to be a badass?
Right.
And, oh, yeah, he's a badass.
No doubt.
So I give that 3.5 out of 4.
Wow.
For the Blood Diamond. And that the African man that played that leading role, he's an attractive man, John.
He's an attractive
But Jennifer Connelly, I don't know, I've always found her hot in anything she's done, from that first movie where she was stuck in the supermarket to the one with Russell Crowe, where she was the wife of the lunatic who was the physicist or whatever the hell, mathematician.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful Mind.
But in this movie, I don't know, she didn't trim her eyebrows or whatever, so she's got these big Brooke Shields eyebrows, and she was just so stiff.
So she's got a hairy bush.
And you did see a little bit of cleavage at one point that was, was all right, but just not a likable character at all.
Oops, wrong one.
But I thought Leonardo did a great job. I thought the brother, I don't know his name. Hold on, I got it right here. Wait a minute.
The brother.
I got it right here. Hold on. Or did I already throw it?
The African American.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Digimon Hunsu. Digimon Hunsu, the guy who played Salman Vandy. He did a kick-ass job. Just a great movie. So check that out if you get a chance.
It's out of sight.
Out of sight. So coming up in part two, we got Shit or Shinola, and we got a podcast quiz, a webcast quiz coming up.
Nice.
And then Time Machine, that'll probably be in part three there, Johnny.
All right.
It's out of sight.
Well, we'll be right back, I guess, right?
Are we ready to go? Did I fill my time quota?
Yeah, perfectly.
Nice.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to part one of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. Part two is just a click away.